We're glad you're here. Glad you came to join us on this Memorial Day weekend. We need to take just a moment to thank those that have given their lives in the armed forces, amen, that we could have peaceful United States of America. I'm grateful for that. I read a little thing on the internet this morning that said Memorial Day weekend is not about going to the beach, not about opening your pool up. It's about thanking the families and those that have given their life that we could have a peaceful America. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, as I thought about that, I thought about how the Bible says that how God laid down his life, amen, that we could have eternal life. I'm thankful that he gave his life on Calvary for sinners like you and I, that we could have everlasting eternal life, amen. I want you to stand this morning as we read God's Word and take the Bible and turn to St. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4 will stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. I want to break in at verse number 46. Verse number 46. The Bible says, "So Jesus came again into Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child dieth. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Verse 53 says, So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus saith unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Verse 54 says, This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, the blessings, the privilege that's ours to be in thy house this morning. And God, as we preach the word of God, I pray for your anointing power from on high. Lord, you would allow us to preach with power, purity, truth, and liberty. And God, I pray you would speak to hearts today. Lord, there could be one or more here this morning that does not have their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, there's a real heaven and there's a real hell. And Father, you're coming back one day, and we need to make sure that we know, that we know, that we know that we're saved and on our way to heaven, because the Bible, the Word of God, is absolutely truth. I pray, Lord, if there's one in this midst, Father, that they would come and ever live and be saved, come to Jesus Christ today. I pray for the Christians, the born-again believers, Lord, that we would have a little more faith in Jesus today with all the problems and trials and situations that we go through. And Father, I pray for our pastor today as he's preaching the Word of God over there in Pennsylvania. I pray you would give him the very message that they need to hear. Father, be with us. And I pray, Lord, for each and every man of God that is preaching the Word of God today around the world, Lord, that there would be souls saved and lives changed because of Jesus, all that he's done. Help us this morning, Jesus, to preach exactly what you would have us to say. We'll pray these things in your precious, marvelous name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Jesus is in his ministry now. He had talked to the woman at the well, and she had come to Christ believing what he had said, and that he had talked, of course, you know, John 3:16, the Bible says, For God so loved the world. He had talked to Nicodemus and was telling him about how to be saved, and now he was in Capernaum or Samaria, but now he came again. The Bible says, So Jesus came again. Why did he come again? Amen. I believe he came because he was going to heal the nobleman's son. Can I tell you that he knows everything in advance? Can I tell you that he knows everything about the future? He was willing to go back again to Galilee. The Bible says, so he came again. Can I tell you the first time that Jesus came to this earth? You know the story. He came born of a virgin in a manger. He came, amen, and he gave his very life and shed his precious blood on Calvary that we might have everlasting life. But can I tell you, just as he came again into Galilee, he's coming back again to this world the second time. Amen. You can say, well, I've heard that preached many, many times. And can I tell you, so have I. Can I tell you that he's coming back at the rapture of the church? Can I tell you that it could be any moment? It could be any hour. It could be today before we get done preaching the word of God. It could be tonight before we come back to the house of God. Jesus is on his way back. He's coming back for the church, for the born again believers. Can I tell you, we need to be ready for when Jesus comes back again. He'll come back at the rapture of the church. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself, he's not sending Moses, he's not sending Elijah, he's coming back himself for the church. And you say, why is that? Because he's the one that gave his very life for the church. So he's coming back for the born again believers. Amen. He said he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. He's coming back and we're going to see King Jesus. Amen. There's going to be a reunion in the sky for the born again believers. And my question is tonight, and the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul said what? Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We can have comfort with these words, knowing that we're born again, saved, on our way to heaven, and Jesus is coming back. Let me just say this. This is not in my message. I was talking to Brother Ernie this morning before we started to sing. And he told me, he said, a couple of his friends at where he worked had passed away. He said the one family was suffering, and they were so sad, and they were so lonely, and they were so depressed. But Ernie said, he's okay. He's doing all right because he knows exactly where he's at. Hey, listen, the body said, Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Ernie said, listen, I know that he is in heaven today, and he's doing much better than what he was down here on earth. Praise God. Can I tell you, when Jesus comes back for the church, we're going to be doing much better, amen. We're going to have a much better time, but he's going to come back again, amen. He's going to come back again. The Bible says, so Jesus had left, and he came back again into Galilee, where he made the water wine. You remember at the wedding where Jesus turned the water into wine. And I thought, boy, what a change that was. A water into wine, amen. Let me tell you something. That was the first miracle that was performed by the Lord Jesus Christ at the wedding there. How he turned the water into wine. The very first miracle. Let me tell you something. Jesus can make a change in your life. He can make a difference in your life. He can take the worst drug addict. He can take the worst prostitute. He can take the worst alcoholic. He can take the worst sinner that there is in this world. And he can make a definite change in their life. But how do you say that? By saving their soul. By coming to Jesus Christ. By putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know when I was younger, before I got saved in 1997, I knew that I went to places I shouldn't have went to. I'd said things and did things that I shouldn't have done. I did this, I did that. But after Jesus saved my soul, after he came into my life and made a change in me, the Bible says over there, listen, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature, a brand new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He changed that water into wine. He can change your life, amen, from the bad point to the good point, praise God. They said where he came and what he did, he worked miracles. And my friends, he can work a miracle today in your life. You might think everything's good. I'm not worried about hell. I'm not worried about heaven. My friends, he's coming back the second time. He's coming back, and it could happen at any time. We better be ready, and we better be prepared and know our Savior and have a personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. So Jesus came again into the Canaan of Galilee where he made the water wine. The Bible says, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. He's coming back now to Capernaum, to Canaan in Galilee. He's coming back. This nobleman had a son that was about ready to die. He needed help. Watch this. Verse number 47. When signs and wonders, you will not believe. Wait a minute. Jesus told the nobleman this. Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe what I can do for you. Can I tell you, church, the world in which we live in, a lot of people don't believe in the Word of God. They want to see signs. They want to see miracles. Jesus said, unless you see signs, you will not believe. Listen, the world, a lot of the world does not believe in a Jesus Christ who came and left heaven's splendor. They don't believe that Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary and shed His precious blood. They don't believe that on that third and victorious, glorious day that He rose again, praise God. They don't believe it. They don't believe that there's a real heaven where we'll be up there throughout all eternity, praise God. We'll be together in heaven worshiping our Savior. By the way, we need to worship Him down here a little bit more. Amen. Hey, listen, let me tell you what. They don't believe that there's a real heaven. A lot of people don't believe that there's not going to be no more sin. There's not going to be no more sickness. There's not going to be no more sorrow. There's not going to be no more separation. Hey, listen, they don't believe that. They don't believe that there's a place called hell, where the Bible says, Jesus said, the worm dieth not, where the fire is not quenched. They don't believe that. They don't believe the Word of God. Jesus said unto the nobleman, unless ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Well, let me tell you what, the nobleman was going to believe what Jesus said. He was going to believe what Jesus could do without seeing signs and wonders. He was going to be blessed for what the faith that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he believed that this man Jesus could heal his son. He believed it. It's about putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not about signs and wonders in this world. If they come there, they'll probably come from a lot of Satan too. It'll happen. It'll happen. But the nobleman believed. He believed what Jesus could do to his son. Heal his son. He said, come down, come to the house and heal my son. Jesus was going to do it right there. Isn't it great that Jesus can save your soul wherever you're at? Isn't it great that the Holy Spirit of God still lives in our hearts? Isn't it great that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession? Isn't it great that He can still save your soul, all those way, way up in the third heaven, amen? He's going to heal this young man far away. But the nobleman believed. The nobleman had faith. And he was going to be healed from sin, sickness, and death. And I tell you, church, if we believe and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we too will be healed from sin. The Bible says if we put our faith in Him, He'll take our sins and put them in the depths of the deepest sea and bury them as far as the deepest sea and as far as the east is from the west. He'll take those sins and they'll be forever, forever gone, 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 amen. Amen. Past, present, and future. If we ask the Lord for forgiveness and He'll also deliver us from the hand of death, we might take our last breath here on earth before Jesus returns. But hey, listen, church, let me tell you what. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. We take our last breath. We don't have to worry about a place called hell. We take our last breath. We don't have to worry about it because we'll be with Jesus Christ throughout all eternity. Amen. And the nobleman believed. The nobleman had faith in the other book of Mark. I think it's Jesus says he's got more faith than most of the other people here do. A Gentile nobleman had all this faith what Jesus was going to do for his son. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:55, speaking to Christians, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Listen, there's hope beyond the grave thanks to Jesus Christ. So the nobleman came, and Jesus said, unless ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Verse 49 says, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Let me tell you something, that nobleman was truly, truly, absolutely, positively concerned about his young son dying. He was absolutely worried that that young boy was going to die and be all the way into eternity. He was concerned about his son. Let me tell you, you know what God gave me a little message over on this thought? We, as born-again Christians, we need to be concerned about our lost loved ones. We need to be concerned about those that are not saved. We need to be concerned about those that have not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do you say that? Because heaven is real. Because hell is real. Because, listen, they will spend an eternity one day either in heaven or hell. And we need to be concerned about their souls. Jesus was. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. He's concerned about lost souls. He gave his life on Mount Calvary and shed his precious blood so that we could have eternal life. My friends, he's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone comes to repentance. That's what he wants. That's what Jesus wants. Sir, come down. Hear my child die. He didn't give up on Jesus. Even though Jesus said, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. He did not give up on Jesus. And church, we can never give up on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every prayer we pray can still be answered. Every time we call out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we cannot give up on calling upon Jesus. Because he is still able today. Verse 50 says, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. He said that because the nobleman come right back to him and said, sir, here, come down, my son dieth. He said, go ahead and go away. Go back. Go back home. Your son is living. He's going to be fine. Isn't it glad to know that when your loved ones pass on, isn't it glad to know that they're doing a whole lot better? Isn't it glad to know that they're in a much, much, much better place because they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it good to know that? The Bible says, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. The nobleman believed what Jesus had said, that your son liveth. Go ahead, go back. He believed exactly the word that Jesus said. Do you believe the word of God this morning? Do you believe every verse? Do you believe every chapter? Do you believe every book in the word of God, all 66 books? Do you believe every word that's spoken in the word of God? Do you believe it? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? Do you believe that Jesus came, suffered and bled and died and rose again? Do you believe what the word of God says? We need to believe what Jesus spoke about hell. Because he spoke three times more about hell than what he did about heaven. Imagine that. Heaven, the beauty, the splendor of heaven. Most of all, looking forward to seeing Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing my mom. Rick, I can't wait to see my mom. I'm looking forward to seeing my sister and my father-in-law and Curtis and all those wonderful friends. Hey, and Harvey and all those friends that I know and some of my pastors when I used to go to church when I wouldn't even see Brother Charles. I'm looking forward to seeing them. But I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. You know why? Because he's the one that made it all possible. He's the one. He said, listen, we need to believe. Jesus spoke about hell. He said, and if thine eyes offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Jesus said that. Jesus said it. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We must believe what the word of God says. Every single word, every verse, every chapter, every book of what the word of God says. Because it's about eternity. It's about living forever. And we don't want to suffer, my friends. And you don't want to suffer in a place called hell. Don't think you're going to heaven because you came to the house of God today. Or because you came last week. Or because you've been coming for months. Because I did the same thing for years. I was drugged to church when I was a kid. But I didn't put my faith and trust in Jesus. And then my wife finally got me to go to State Line Baptist Church. Finally got there. And the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart and said, hey, you need to be saved. Amen. And I got, we can't be in heaven because we're good people. We can't be in heaven because we come to church. We can't be in heaven because we give the offering. We can't be in heaven because we sing in the choir. We're in heaven because we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Jesus said, believe the word. Can I tell you, the nobleman believed exactly what Jesus had said. Every word he said, the Bible says, had spoken unto him. And the Bible says he went his way. You know what that tells me? This nobleman had a whole lot of faith in Jesus Christ. He had a whole lot of faith. The Bible says, listen, over there in Hebrews 11:16, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We need to have much faith in the Lord. I got faith to believe that the day I called upon Him and I put my faith and trust in Jesus and I asked for forgiveness of my sin, I got faith to believe that one day I'll be in heaven throughout all eternity. How come? Because I believe the Word of God, and so did the nobleman. Oh, listen, how many prayers have you prayed? How many times have you called out to the Lord for help that you need, for help that your, can I say, your family needs, for help that you just need in your life? How many times have you called out to Jesus? Do we have the faith to believe like the nobleman did? You see what Jesus did to his son, because he had faith in believing. And my friends, He'll do the same for you. He'll do the same for you. The Bible says over there, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." The nobleman was going back the very next day to his house. And here his servants came and met him. They were happy. They were thrilled that his son was living. Can I tell you, they did not know that he had seen Jesus. They did not know that he had talked to Jesus. They did not know what Jesus had told him his son was going to live. But they came running out that door and they met him and said, "Thy son liveth. Thy son liveth." What a wonderful thought. Watch this. Then he inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour." That would have been 1 o'clock. They start at 6 a.m., go to 1, so that'd be 7 hours. 1 o'clock. The nobleman's got it in his mind. Yesterday at 1 o'clock, I was talking to Jesus. And I asked him to come down and heal my son. He didn't ask him the day or the month. He asked him the hour. The hour. He said, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The Bible says, so the father knew. The father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. They put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The whole house believed. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And thy house. Believe. Believe in Jesus. You know, the nobleman knew it was absolutely for sure then. When that man, those servants came, and they came to him, and they told him, "Your son liveth." He said, "What time did he start to get better? What time did he start to heal?" He said it was at the seventh hour. He knew exactly that's when he talked to Jesus. He knew exactly what Jesus had done. He knew exactly, without a shadow of a doubt, how his boy got healed from death, from sickness, from the fever. He knew it was from Jesus. There was no other way that boy could have been healed. There was no other way that that young man at that hour could have been healed. He probably woke up out of bed with the fever gone and said, "Give me a bowl of Cheerios. I want something to eat. Give me something to do. I got to go out. I'm going to have a good..." I believe when Jesus healed him, he healed him real well. Amen. When Jesus saves our souls, he saves us real well. The nobleman knew exactly how he got healed. There's only one way to heaven, church. One way, through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He is the only way. He's the one that healed that young man, and he's the only one that can get us to heaven. It's not about our good works. It's not about what we do. It's about by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. How come? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but by the Father." He is the way. The nobleman knew exactly how his son got healed. And we can know exactly how we can get to heaven. Exactly. Verse 54. Well, verse 53. "Thy son liveth." They come out and told him that. "And himself believed, and his whole house." They put their faith and trust in that man, Jesus Christ. Because he's got his son out of the deathbed and saved him. Here's the message and the thought that I want to give to you. Verse 54, this is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. You folks get up and get us a song ready. Jesus had gone into Galilee at the wedding, turned the water into wine, did an unbelievable miracle. And I thought, I'm so glad that He can do unbelievable miracles in my life, that He's made a change in me, and He can do an unbelievable miracle in your life. He took that water and changed it into wine. But He came back the second time because He wanted to heal the nobleman's son. He wanted to give him life many, many more years. Can I tell you the greatest of all miracles is the miracle of salvation. Jesus worked miracles when He rose people from the dead, when He made the lame to walk and the blind to see. But the greatest miracle that He performed was on Mount Calvary when He shed His blood for you and I so that we could have eternal life. And we must believe.